My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just checking our Survivor results here from yesterday, or, you know, in Bulldog's case, we don't have results yet because he's on San Francisco to win. Joe Ostrowski's $50 pool, 1,624 players at $50 each. 512 went out with Cincinnati, Atlanta, Giants. That's bold.
Okay.
Three Colts, two Ravens, two Titans, Panthers. Wow. These are people who are putting in several entries probably, but still, right. I admire it. Bulldogs on the 49ers, one of 10 on the Niners. No one's on the Jets. And I did another one of Joe's where an even greater number of people went out. A little bit more money, so safer picks. I think 36% of people went out, largely due to Cincinnati. Sal, what's your Survivor interest this year?
It's great. It's high. So I'm in one every year with a friend of mine, and I'm out. I took Cincinnati. So I'm out. Yeah. And then I'm in Paul Hamilton's. His is actually, okay, let me say it again. It's a death pool for the other guy. I took New England, so not Cincinnati. I took New England. It's the reverse of Survivor. You pick one team to lose, not to win. Can't pick them more than once, right? So Paul also runs one, but here's the thing with Paul. So in this one, I got me in and I got Max in, and we both took New England. We're both out. But Paul, the way he does it is, if you lose, you can buy back in before the Sunday night game for another shot. So we both did that. I took the Rams. I'm still in. Max took the Lions. He's out. So we're buying. So then he gets one more shot. He can just buy back in again tonight. And I think he's taking the Jets to lose. So there you go. Because you just then, hey, why not? You know, objects survive week one. So I don't mind the spending the extra buy back in, because at the end of the day, it just keeps you alive.
Well, it's nice to know I'll be riding with Max tonight then. So that's good.
There you go.
The kid's throwing his money around pretty loosely, Sal. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I know, sounds like you're okay with it.
Hell of a paper route he's sounds got like, going there.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like some lemon.
Some chores.
Much lemonade was sold.
Yes.
Okay. Well, before we get into this week, and we're getting into this week already with the game being on Thursday night in Miami, let's just talk about yesterday for a little bit. How impressed were you by the Bills' performance?
I mean, the second half, the comeback, I was very impressed with a lot of the things that they did. I mean, I actually think they played really well on offense, moving the ball wise before that. I mean, honestly, the Cardinals couldn't stop the Bills. The Bills' offense was rolling, but they kept shooting themselves in the foot. They had the sack fumble. Then they had the called back touchdown. The next drive turned into a field goal. So, I mean, really, they were kind of moving the ball at will. Both teams were. So what I was most impressed with, though, was how they buttoned up on defense, how they made some adjustments, and really the offense just kept kind of kept on going, basically. But it wasn't perfect by any means, right? I mean, there were a lot of things that you could look at. Tackling was an issue on defense that might happen early in the season a lot when guys haven't had all those reps because you're not tackling in training camp a lot. You're not bringing guys down to the ground. You didn't have all those preseason reps like normal. Obviously, a couple breakdowns, a breakdown on special teams, that wasn't good. You know, the Cardinals did have quite a bit of success moving the ball early in the game. But I like the defensive adjustment. They didn't give them the edges. They didn't allow Kyler Murray to escape in the second half very much. So I really, that to me was impressive.
Yeah, and it seemed like when they brought extra rushers, it was often through the middle, which it seemed by design, I think, you know, for the reason you just talked about, trying to keep him, you know, try to trap him in there, really, right? The edge guys go up the field, and if you got more coming up the middle, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, and I think in the run game, too, Ball, like if you go back and watch, like, the first run of the second half, I think it was, so the Bills score in the second half, they give the ball to Arizona. The very first run, I noticed it right away. Like, as soon as his handoff to James Conner, there was just way more population getting there to where he was going. And the Bills did a great job. And what they did was they started kind of shooting those, you know, outside edge gaps before you get totally outside to kind of disrupt the lead blockers. And once the lead blockers disrupted, now he has kind of nowhere to go around the edge. What's interesting, I went back and looked at the data, and I wrote about this today a little bit. The Cardinals ran the ball, I had it 25 times, but I looked at, my data said 24, but either way. Out of the 24 runs that I researched, they had 13 total around either edge, like all the way on the outside. Only 11 in between the tackles, which is amazing. They were really trying to do that, and the Bills saw that. And they said, okay, we got to stop this. Once they did that, it was pretty much lights out. They weren't able to move the ball.
You know, this is sort of how I always am, but like, Murray not running more. This is the cheat code. Bills fans know a lot of teams, more and more teams have these running quarterbacks who are really, like, this is an interesting time right now, Sal, because you're seeing passing yards coming way down to start the season. Mm-hmm. I believe I saw average for week one was under 200 yards passing, which is the first time since at least the 90s in a week one.
Amazing.
And really, why is that? Some of it's well documented how defenses are playing, but it's the quarterbacks who can move are just sort of changing everything. You know, they're breaking it all. Like, and Allen has done this, and of course, many other guys. And, you know, boy, Arizona had such an opportunity there down six. But even the drive before that, just a couple of handoffs like the ones you're describing to Connor. I mean, easy to say in hindsight, but I kind of think those are wasted plays. If you're the Bills, what do you want there? You want that. I think you want inside runs and, you know,
having to deal with Murray, right?
Not having Murray get out. So
yeah,
Murray had one really long run in the second half, but it was his only run. He ran four times in the first half. He only ran once in the second half. He did really kind of had nowhere to go. And that one long run, he got out as a third down, ran down the left sideline. So credit to him on the run. But yeah, the Bills didn't allow him to do it. I agree. Like, I mean, if you're the Bills, like that's their most dangerous weapon that they had, really.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about the adjustments and what they changed. And McDermott talked about this. And I know, like, the football people often say this is a very football-y thing, right? We weren't attacking. We were reacting as opposed to initiating. I think we talked on Friday, Sal, and maybe even on Thursday some, about keeping Murray, like, not, you know, not being too aggressive going after him, because you'd rather keep him in the pocket. And I think if you got a lot of new personnel, right? And first game of the year, you haven't played a lot yet, and the message is discipline, stay in your lanes. That might get you to be on your heels a little bit and reactive as opposed to initiating and attacking. And I think after halftime, maybe they realized, like, I think I saw a quote from Rasul Douglas saying exactly this. Like, we had to just go after him. And that's pretty much what they did.
They did. And part of the reason to me, Bulldog, was that they were just eating up the Bills' zone defense. Like, it's just they had wide open guys all over the field. So that's fine. But if you're going to give them time back there at all because you're staying in your lanes, then all of a sudden, even when he has to move a little bit, somebody eventually is going to be open. And that was happening. So I think the Bills just said, let's force the issue. Let's force him to make a decision. He's either got to run or he's got to throw. He's got to make a decision here. And I think really that's kind of what happened there. They had a spy on him several times. It didn't always work. Dorian Williams was a spy once or twice. Terrell Bernard was a spy once or twice. You know, I mean, they try to do that. You know, it's I have a love-hate relationship with spies. I get it. But, you know, when if you're not fast enough to get there, it takes a guy totally out of the play, and you're really playing with one less guy on defense anyway. And they that happened a couple of times to them. You know, he's not the tallest quarterback, right? So if you're attacking through the middle, like you said, that also has to get him to kind of look to the outside. And if nothing's there initially, now he's got to pull it down. He's got to move around a little bit. And if you're attacking, that's how Greg Rousseau gets that sack right there. That's how you get the fumble. So I do think that they had a bit of a change up. They got a little bit more aggressive, bit of a feeling out period. But all's well that ended well. They did everything they needed to do right. And look, they held them to 3 points in the second half. Now, I get they had one less possession, the Cardinals, because of the kickoff return. But they held them to 3 points in the second half, the offense, that is. And you know, that's a nice win for the Bills there then.
Unless I beat you to it, and you know, I'm not sure you're going to have time, but last week you did so well looking up those tie games. Allen has 20 rushing touchdowns in his last 20 games, including playoffs. 18 in the regular season alone. It's not even that many games because he didn't have one in either the first two games last year, but then 15 and then two more yesterday. Sal, here we go. I mean, it's nothing new. For all the talk of the offseason, every offseason, like what about Allen and, you know, his holding up physically? Here we have, he could have been three, actually, but his final rushing touchdown lands on his hand, and, you know, he was iffy after that. It sounds like good news today, though.
Yeah, it does. You could see right when he landed on it. If you watch the replay, he looked down at it before he did his little celebration. Mm-hmm. It's kind of flat.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Flexing it a little bit, like you could see right there, there was something going on. And then, of course, you know, we all saw some of the pictures on the sideline and, you know, him. He was, and I'll tell you guys, Mr. Trubisky was taking a couple snaps down there. Yep. Like, we didn't know what was happening at that time. And he eventually goes in. It's heavily taped. My concern, Eric Wood's concern, we were talking on the radio, was can he take a snap under center? That's going to be painful. And he didn't at first, but then he did. And then we're like, okay, well, he's not going to run, right? Well, then he ran. I mean, the game plan did not seem to go away whatsoever. Taking a shotgun snap, getting it hit, getting a hand in the hand, that's got to be a little painful. Again, going forward, though, it seems like he's okay. He's cleared to play. My concern would be ball security, handing off with your left hand. If he's going to his right with his left hand to hand off, that's, you know, something you just have to watch for to make sure. But overall, obviously, very, very good, encouraging news for Josh Allen that he's cleared to play, not only at practice, but in the game. I'm going back to last year. Since last year, week number three. So that would be how many games, I guess, we have here? I don't know. 15 games, whatever?
Plus one. 15 plus, not counting playoffs, 15 plus one.
He has only three games of no rushing touchdowns.
Yep. And 16 total. That would be.
It's amazing.
Or 17 even. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to figure out how to do this, how to search this in a way where guys like don't overlap. But that is incredible. I'm guessing he probably is the only quarterback ever to do that. Wow. Well,
He played like an MVP yesterday. I mean, yep. He really did. Like that's the definition of MVP. Now one thing, like I talked about this on my show today, which is I want to push back though on, I heard some callers today, people saying, well, he needs to be Superman for them to win, or they need him to be Superman. I don't think they needed to. I think he just chose to be quite honest with you. The offense was rolling yesterday. They were running the ball well. Now, at the end of the day, James Cook had 3.7 yards a carry, but they were breaking him off in chunks. Josh was hitting receivers. He had only 5 incompletions, if you want to call that being Superman. But it wasn't like he was making unbelievable wow throws all the time. He made a few of those. I don't think they needed or had to have Josh Allen be Superman yesterday. I just think Josh Allen was Superman because that's what he does.
We will talk tomorrow because the schedule is different this week, and that means yeah. Tuesday is a work day for them and then for you. So Miami, you know, we'll get into, of course, that rivalry and everything else. Taron Johnson, though, we did find out today, will miss this game. Sal, I thought, you know, I don't know what your perspective is, though. Right away, it's a forearm injury, and they called him questionable. And that's one where I'm not sure there really would be a questionable. Maybe, but eventually he does not return, and now he's already ruled out for this one, so that does not bode well.
Yeah, that's a good observation on your part. I heard a little bit of your post-game, you talking about that as well. Let me explain how it works so everybody understands. But I'll kind of clarify how the questionable designation came into play and then being out. So he originally gets hurt. In the initial analysis, they're looking at his forearm. He's questionable to return, like, because we're trying to get information right away. So that, you know, the teams, they try to do a good enough job at least to give the update on the injury because everybody's waiting on that. He's questionable to return. Guys, he was on the field still in his helmet, standing next to coaches getting his forearm looked at. Like,
right.
So he was, they didn't know if he was coming back at that moment. He went into the locker room for x-rays. That's when they finally declared him out. My assumption is, got the x-rays and said, you can't go back in this game. Then they ultimately declared him out. That's how it worked.
Yep. Well, what are the Bills losing here? I mean, Miami's pass offense is so well concentrated in Hill and Waddle, but all that motion, I mean, Johnson, you want his experience, if nothing else.
No, he's I mean, you could make an argument he's the Bills' second best player behind Josh Allen. He's terrific. He's an all-pro. He's the only all-pro on the team last year. He's fantastic at what he does. He is certainly one of the best nickel cornerbacks in the league. He understands. I mean, he said the other day, or at preseason, took him 3 years to really understand like everything in the defense and what everybody's role is and what they're doing and how all that fits. And that's some good perspective there from a veteran. And he's super physical. One of the things about playing Miami is I know he's, to me, he's made big plays against Miami over the years as a blitzer. He's come off the edge. Tua hasn't seen him. They force plays. Things like that. That's kind of a lot of stuff that you're losing in there. And, of course, Jalen Waddle, I mean, can be in the slot. You're going to have to cover him right there, no doubt. But, listen, they have, the Bills do, a nickel cornerback backup in Cam Lewis that I really believe and have been saying for a while.
I know.
He can start on many teams. You guys know I've said that.
And I know.
Go ahead.
I thought he played great in the second half of this game.
He did. Cam Lewis has gotten better every year. He really has. That what you saw yesterday is why Cam Lewis is on this team every year. Every year, every offseason, it seems like we get to a, boy, is Cam Lewis going to make the team? He's a bubble guy. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's the backup nickel corner, and he could probably start on a lot of teams in this league at nickel corner. And he plays a lot of special teams, and he's a safety. And you know what happened yesterday? In case fans don't know, we talked about this, and I tweeted about it. Cam Lewis going into the game was the dime safety. He was playing the role that Jordan Poyer played in the second half of last year. Like, that was his role. They were going to play a lot of dime defense in passing situations. He's the guy that's got to look. McBride, all these guys, Dortch, he's the dime safety. Well, suddenly, here's the injury to Johnson 7 plays in. So now he's got to go to his nickel job. Here comes Jamarcus Ingram, who is not really a safety. He has safety skills, and I've said that about him a lot, where I like his flexibility. He was going to be the third corner. Boundary corner, and or fourth maybe. He wasn't going to play at all really on defense. Now he has to become the dime safety. Think about all the adjustments not only they have to make in their own mind of what they're doing, but what Bobby Babich now has to think about what he can and can't do on defense. That's why I say I was so impressed with the second half and the adjustments. There was a lot of moving parts there. And how about the game Jamarcus Ingram played? It wasn't perfect, but he did a really nice job, and he made that final pass breakup, you know, at the end of the game too. So really great job all around by those guys.
I know it's a short week, so we'll see here. Bishop being inactive, I get it, right? I mean, a tough summer from just a pure reps standpoint. Yep. Edwards, same thing, only played on special teams. I wonder now with injuries, with Lewis not being able to be back there and they get to Ingram, like what the plan is here. You're going to play like one of the most explosive, certainly the fastest team in the league, skill position-wise. Like I wonder, and it's a short week, by the way. So like, I wonder what they can really pivot to, if anything, with Johnson out.
Well, I wonder now if this is Cole Bishop time to be that dime safety, right? If you can, hey, here's your role, right? You don't mm-hmm. have to do everything that these safeties are normally asked to do, which is communicate back end, how you're going to kind of go about, you know, disguising coverages, things like that. You're going to play in these specific situations, and here is your job. I would not be surprised if they go to that model because he did not play, but he was a full participant. He's been trending in the right direction. So obviously, you know, if he can get if you can feel comfortable enough being on the field, which it feels like it might be that case, you can go that way. Then you have the other safety spot behind him, which is DeMar Hamlin started. He didn't hurt the Bills. He's, you know, he's going to be a guy that they're going to test, and they've gone over the top before. This team specifically has done that. Does that mean Mike Edwards comes back and he plays with Taylor Rapp? Or do you just roll with DeMar and say, okay, and then we're going to see how we go and if we need to make a change in the middle of the game? I mean, I think one thing I'm confident in is that Cam Lewis will be filling in for mm-hmm. Taron Johnson, right, and he'll be the nickel. Who becomes the second nickel, though, is also a question. Do they elevate Daquan Hardy for this game, guys? Do they elevate to Corey Couch? You may have to have one of those guys actually on the ready to be your reserve nickel, because I don't know if they have another one.
The research is complete. 16-game regular season span, even if it crosses over two seasons. 10 or more rushing touchdowns is what the search was that I did. Allen and Hurts have 17. It's Allen's most recent 17 games, or 16 games, 17 rushing touchdowns. Then you get to names, Cam Newton at 14. You get to Steve Grogan, who had 13 in a 16-game span for New England. Taysom Hill, if you want him. Kyler, Cordell Stewart. Tannehill did it, 11, and then Michael Vick and some other names at 10. Greg Landry. Sal, got to go. Thanks.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Deshaun Watson, 10. Lamar Jackson, 10. Dante Culpepper, 10. You loved Dante Culpepper.
I did, yes.
Steve McNair, RIP, 10. Bobby Douglas, 10. Greg Landry, there is it. Terry Bradshaw, a young Terry Bradshaw, once ran for 10 touchdowns in a span of 16 games. This is quarterbacks only, if I didn't say so. Eric Wood is a staple on Football Mondays, has been for many years, and we were happy to welcome Eric back today. He'll be with us on pregame on Thursday, as it's a Thursday night game this week. Stay tuned. More after this with Eric Wood, Mike Schoep, and the Bulldog, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.